Chapter number one, we'll read a few verses from there. It's been a little while since my wife and I have been with you, and we thank you so much for the opportunity to be back. I'm recovering. About a year ago, I had a stroke, and I'm still recovering to some degree from that, and so please forgive me for saying some things unclearly. Please forgive me for that. I ask that you give me a modicum of grace this morning as we work through this passage. I promise I will not keep you long, right? That's a promise from a Baptist preacher. I would do my best to move you through this passage. I'm giving you also opportunity to get adjusted to my voice as it is very weak still. I hope that I am still communicating with each of you though. So John chapter 1 and verse number 1 John, excuse me, chapter 1 and verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Father, we ask these things now, that you would glorify yourself through the continual proclamation of your word, your eternal truth. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to address such an august crowd this morning. I pray that you would find a place in each of our hearts, your truth would be embedded there, and that it will bring forth fruits of righteousness. Father, impact us during this time, certainly, but we pray that you would change us also, conform us to this passage even more so. Glorify yourself in all that's said and done. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, the Joy of Fellowship. And in this title, in this passage, the verses I read in your hearing, John invites us into fellowship with the Lord Jesus and with God. I am taking for granted that you already have established a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through belief of the gospel. I'm taking that a little bit for granted this morning. And we know that that relationship with God is something that is permanent. It is something that cannot be broken. Fellowship, on the other hand, that I will dwell on today, is something that's far more fragile. It can be broken. And we can break that fellowship with the Lord. One of the ways that we can break it is by sin. But we see that fellowship is different from sonship, and I will deal primarily with fellowship this morning from this text. The key to all of this is the Lord Jesus Christ and what we do with Him. In His time, in the Lord Jesus' time, there was debate as to who He was. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, Jesus, the Bible says this, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, and he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Certainly, we would agree with Peter, and we would confess this morning that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But if we're not careful, we will allow the arguments and the propositions of mere men dissuade us, and we can become confused on this matter as to the identity of Jesus Christ and our identity in him as a result. Was Jesus really the one that would take away our sin, or should we look for another? Is he really who he claimed to be? Might be one of the questions that a person might ask themselves. But you and I, as believers, we should be convinced of who Jesus is based on the scriptures. Not only should we be convinced as to who Jesus is, but we should relish and cherish what is laid before us, the opportunity we have in verse number 3. Listen to the wording of verse number 3 again. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John was literally saying in his time, almost 2,000 years ago, John was literally saying that he himself was enjoying fellowship with Jesus Christ and through God through him. That's a tremendous statement, beloved, because it literally means that John, some 60 years after Jesus ascended back to heaven to be with the Father and to be seated on the right hand, was still enjoying fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. That is a promise, beloved, that is held out to you and I, that you and I, even today, 2,000 years later, can enjoy such an invitation, and we can have fellowship with God today. God wants to have fellowship with you and me. That blows my mind. That literally racks everything I think is important and everything I think I know about anything at all. God himself wants to have and cherish a fellowship with you and with me. As we look at this passage, there are two things that stand out to me. I'll share them with you quickly, if you will. First of all, we notice the foundation of our fellowship. There is always a ground level, a baseline, a fellowship, a standard that we look to for fellowship with God. And Jesus Christ is the foundation of that fellowship with God. He is central and he is essential to that fellowship with God. You cannot enjoy fellowship with God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just the same as you cannot enjoy a relationship with God outside of Jesus Christ, the same is true also when it comes to this matter of fellowship. Now, let me show you that from the scriptures, because you're wanting to see that in the Word of God, which I appreciate very much. First of all, we notice the glorious fact. You see, Jesus Christ has always existed. He is the eternal God of heaven. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning. That's Jesus Christ is referring to. And you and I would shout and say, yes, the Lord Jesus didn't begin in a manger about 2,000 years ago at his physical birth. No, Jesus predated that. He's eternal. He is the God of heaven come to visit man. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. In the book of the Revelation, John writing again, he says this about Jesus Christ, and Jesus is speaking. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And in 1 Peter 3:16, the Bible tells us God was manifested in the flesh. And you and I this morning would say, amen, hallelujah, and praise the Lord for that glorious fact. There's another. Then the second event we find, there's a glorious proof of this fact. Jesus Christ is God incarnated, and John heard him. John saw him. John looked upon him. John handled him. And John discovered that he is as real could possibly be. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 1, 1 John 1:1, he says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. And then the Bible says in John, the Gospel of John 1 and verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus Christ being referred to, beloved, and John heard him. And when he preached, John heard that. When he spoke, John heard that. When he gave instruction, John heard that. John also saw him do these things. And John would look upon him, that is, look upon him with the purpose of understanding, grasping what he is and who he is. And John would also be the one to handle him. Every intellectual and physical tool at John's disposal, he used to understand and comprehend Jesus Christ. And John came away from that kind of investigation saying that he is absolutely real. Amen. 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 And amen. And so it is a glorious proof to you and I. And John, as a one that was an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus Christ, is not trying to pull the wool over our eyes, but he is disclosing truth to us that we can believe in and that we can walk in. And this is a precious thing. The third thing I give you in this is the glorious revelation. Jesus Christ is the Word of life. In verse number 1, notice again in 1 John chapter number 1, the Bible gives the Lord Jesus a title or refers to him by one of his titles, and the title is the Word of Life. I love this title concerning Jesus Christ. It is echoed to some degree in John 14 and verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and say it with me, the life. Yes, that refers to Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus says. And then in John 1 and verse number 4, Jesus says, I in him was life. The life was the light of men. Again, this is the word over and over again that the Bible uses in reference to Jesus Christ. The Word of Life. I love it. I love it. I love it. There is a way that you and I would engage each other using words and using language, correct? And I would try to convey what's in my mind and what's in my heart through the use of words, correct? Well, God did the same thing, except for it was an infinite God speaking to very finite beings. So how would he then convey himself to human beings? It's a mystery, isn't it? But Jesus Christ is the solution to the problem. You see, we understand exactly what God is like when we see Jesus Christ. When we understand that God is revealing himself in Jesus Christ is the most spectacular revelation of God the Father, we get excited, amen? Because in Jesus Christ, you see, you understand exactly what God is like, amen? I don't wonder anymore. It's not a phantom. It's not something that is beyond me to comprehend, though it is elevated in the extreme. But I can know God through Jesus Christ. And it is God who is reaching out through the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he desires fellowship with you and with me. That blows my mind. In all of this, we see the simple truth that God is not trying to snow us. He is offering to you and me something that is very authentic. There's a second thing that I see in these verses. Please forgive me for lingering. But the second thing is this, is the fulfillment of our fellowship. In verse 3 and 4, listen to them again of this text. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. My soul, first of all, we notice that there is the most glorious purpose in life. Here it is. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The most glorious purpose for my life and for yours is fellowship with God. Amen. Now, beloved, if God went through all of this trouble to reveal himself in Jesus Christ and coming to this world and then offering to you and me fellowship, then obviously one of the most valuable responses that we can make towards God is to choose to have fellowship with him as he has chosen to have fellowship with us. Amen? He could have saved us and left us to our own devices. But instead of that, instead of choosing that, he chose instead to enjoy life with you and have you share life with him. Amen. The Bible tells us over and over again, and there are many verses that we could make reference to, but child of God, don't get it confused and don't get it mixed up. The purpose for which we exist still as saved people is to have God in fellowship with you and I. Oh, I look at my life and I'm ashamed to admit the number of times I do something and think about God afterwards. I'm ashamed to think about the number of times I run ahead of the Lord. I'm ashamed of the fact that I make decision after decision through a given day that doesn't, where I didn't even pause one time to say, now, Lord, what do you think? I have found through just conversation that I'm not alone. There are others just like me. You're honest about it. And we admit that, man, when it comes to this thing of fellowship, I have not made it the priority that I should. But yet there's a God who left heaven, made himself available to man, and he offers through Jesus Christ this opportunity called fellowship with believers. Isn't there something in you and me that wants to know that with God? You see, many of us, we go through life and we come up empty time and time again because we're pursuing joy, because joy should characterize believers' lives, right? And in our pursuit of joy, we go through a number of things trying to have joy because joy should mark believers. But we're missing the most critical element of it all when we ignore God. You see, we will never know joy in and of itself until we know God. And one of the blessings of knowing God, the byproduct is joy in the Christian life. We can never pursue merely joy for the sake of having joy without God. We always must pursue God, and God can be found, amen? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You can find him, child of God. He is to be found in every detail that Jesus shares about him. You and I can know, and you and I can have, and God affords this kind of opportunity to you and to me. It's a marvelous thing. I need to hurry. The last thing I share with you is this, is the most glorious reality in life is intimacy with God. That's what God affords us, this intimacy into himself. Forgive me for just a moment, There were 70 who followed the Lord Jesus, 70 disciples at one time. But from those 70, Jesus chose 12 and named them apostles. They were the closest followers of his own. He would answer their questions more directly. But from those 12, the Lord Jesus had three who followed him very intimately. And Jesus would expose them to things, perhaps, that he didn't expose the other 12 to. Things like raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. It was the three that were there for that, you see. When it came to the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Peter, James, and John, three again, who were there with him on that Mount of Transfiguration and came down the mount with him. When it came to the Garden of Gethsemane, there were 11 disciples who went in there, but it was three disciples in particular that went farther into the garden, Peter, James, and John again. The Lord shared wonderful things with them that blew their ever-loving minds. Wonderful things were shared with them. But there was one disciple still that Jesus took even further because he was ready to go there. It was to that disciple that Jesus disclosed who the betrayer would be. It was that disciple who was found at the foot of Jesus' cross. When Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son," it was to John he was looking to. And when it came to one believing on Jesus' resurrection, it was John who first believed the truth among the disciples that he was risen again from the grave. It was John. And when it came to God disclosing the entire future of the human race, God disclosed it to none other than John. I'm saying, beloved, simply this morning, that there's greater insight and greater joy that comes to the child of God who goes farther with the Lord in this thing of fellowship. You must make that choice this morning. I wish I could pour it on you. And if I could, I'd be all over this congregation, dilapidated, crippled, and old, pouring it on everybody. But I cannot do that. You must choose it yourself. God invites you. He says, come through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, come to me, and I will show you the Father. Because fellowship is ultimately with the Son and with the Father. Will you this morning accept God's invitation to know that? Oh, I don't argue with your salvation. I don't. You have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, yep. You have repented of your sin, knowing that you are a sinner just like the rest of us? You say, yep. You've invited the Lord into your life to be your Lord and Master? You say, yep. So you have been born again by the work of the Spirit of God. And you say, yep, I have. So you then have a relationship with God. But do you have fellowship with God? There's a way the old Baptist preacher used to say it. Can I mimic him a minute as best I can? He would say, are you right with God? That's one way of saying it. Another way of saying it, are you following God carefully? Are you believing the way that God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ? Are you following God carefully? Are you believing what God revealed about himself in Jesus Christ? Oh, this morning, the invitation is real simple. Real simple as I know how to make it. Jesus stands at the door and knock. If any one of us hear his voice and answers and opens that door to him, he promises to the believer, he promises, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. You can have fellowship with God this morning if you don't have that yet. For those of you who already have it, yay, yippee, amen. You can take a break. Don't leave yet, though. But for us who need to get in where God is already waiting on us, let's get in. Let's make it a priority. Let's make it the priority of our life until Jesus comes and receive us unto himself. Let's make that a priority, fellowship with God. I'm going to pray in just a moment. And you have an opportunity to respond, not to me, but to the Lord. Our brother is preparing to come in just a moment, but I'm going to pray. And then you can do business with the Lord as you have opportunity. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Oh, dear God, please work among us to draw us unto your great self. Help us, dear Lord, to understand, to perceive, to recognize that Jesus Christ is key. He's critical. He's central to our fellowship with you. Help us to choose him and choose you and fellowship this morning. God granted. Father granted. Father, if there be any that know not Jesus Christ as Savior, may they come to him today through the power of the gospel as it has been declared today. Help them to come and be obedient to the Lord in that regard. We ask these things in Jesus' name. As our dear brother come, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you stand with me, please? And as our brother comes and takes the invitation.
Let's all stand and continue with our head bowed and eyes closed. If you need to do business with God, the altar is open. Maybe there's something, an obstacle that has gotten in the way of your fellowship with God. You can take care of it today.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message and the messenger this morning. I pray that each and every one of us would desire to grow closer to you, to have that fellowship with you and the joy that can only be found in a relationship and a fellowship with you. Thank you so much for this time that we've spent in your word. I pray that you would give us a great rest of the day. I pray that we would apply this message to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.